message for my brother and for his time in your word during the week to prepare for this moment, Lord, to encourage us, to challenge us. I just ask that you would just speak through him mightily. Lord, and for us, I just pray that you would just help us to take down those walls around our heart by the power of your Spirit, Lord, that we hear through our heart, Lord. So please, take those walls down, Lord, that we can hear you now. React and put your word into action. We ask in your beautiful name, Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
We appreciate the ministry of the worship team leading us into the presence of the Lord. Amen? Amen. We give thanks to God for them. We're so thankful. We're so thankful. We need to dismiss our children to head out to Children's Church. They can head out right now as our teachers go on out with them. And we're so thankful for our children. Amen? Let's bless our children. Yeah. You know, these little ones that are going out are one day going to grow up into these bigger kids, like Hope, like Olivia, you know, like the Sultan Fuss family. You know, we're going to see them grow up, and then God will put his finger on their heart, too. So we rejoice together. We're looking this morning at Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. We're going to continue in our series on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So if you haven't grabbed your Bibles yet, then please do. And also, there is an outline in the bulletin. If you need one of those, our ushers can give you. We have some extras. All you need to do is raise your hand, and our ushers will bring you one. Anybody need one? Just raise your hand up. So if you find that helpful, feel free to use that. Right before we read the scripture, I want to tell you a little story. It was 1984, and Brenda and I had gotten married. We'd finished college and came down to Gaithersburg, Maryland. And that's where her family was, and we got married that first year. So we got a little apartment, and the apartment that we got is Dalamar Apartments over in Gaithersburg. And the problem was it had hard tile floor on top of concrete, so you had to supply your own carpet. Those were the days, huh? Yeah, supply your own carpet. So we went out to the carpet store and we got a remnant. It was actually quite a long remnant. It was like 18 by 15. And they folded it up and they put it in the back of Brenda's Pinto. Remember that, babe? Now, she had a fancy Pinto. It had a big glass door that lifted up. It was fancy. So they folded that thing up and put it in the back of the Pinto, and the Pinto went, whoop, you know. So anyway, we drove back to the apartment, and we got out, and all of a sudden we realized, man, how are we going to get this thing out? So Brenda and I got back there, and we're trying to lug this thing out of the back of her Pinto, and I mean, it's several hundred pounds of carpet, you know. So as we're struggling here, all of a sudden this big booming voice comes from the building, the apartment, says, "Put that thing down!" And we're like, "What the heck?" And all of a sudden, this big man come walking out of the apartment, the entrance to the apartment, and he come right on over, and he said, "I want to help you." And he moved us aside, he picked that thing up in one movement and put it on his shoulder. And then walked it over to our apartment and brought it into our apartment. And man, he's a big man. He was a big man. And I was kind of glad that he was my friend. That he lived right near us and he was my friend, so. Yeah, he helped us to get that in there because we were too weak to carry it. We couldn't do it. We had the desire, and we knew the plan, but we just didn't have the ability, the strength. And he came along beside us and helped us in our weakness. Read with me from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28, and we're going to read about the Spirit who helps us in our weakness. Would you please stand out of reverence for God's Word? Let's begin together. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Father, we thank You for Your Word. I pray You will speak to us now through the Holy Spirit. Lord, make this Word living and active, a rhema word to each one of us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we read the Scripture, we see that in the very same way that this gentleman, our friend, helped us with that carpet because we were weak, so it is, we understand here from this passage of Scripture that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Jesus, and this is really the main point of what I want to say to us this morning, Jesus has sent His Spirit to live in us and help us in our weakness so that we can live and glorify Him and be His witnesses in this world. Now, I didn't say merely to live and witness for Him, because to be honest with you, He really doesn't need our help. Let me explain what I mean. He wants us to live out our witness. That's different than going out and witnessing. Some of us, when we hear that word witness, we think, well, oh, I got to go to door-to-door with tracts. I've got to go knock on doors. And that's not necessarily so. Now, God's going to call some people to do that. Some people will be bold enough to do that, and that's great. Okay, just as long as you are not offensive and you ask permission. If nobody wants to talk to you, then don't force it. Right? But to live out that witness through the power of the Holy Spirit, even as we are weak. See, some of us don't like to think about ourselves as weak. We really don't. I was talking to somebody here recently, and they said, I have a real problem with insecurity. It's been a real issue for me. And I've said, brother, deep down, we are all desperately insecure. That's the truth. We're all desperately insecure. If that wasn't true, then why would we always try to present ourselves in such a particular way when it ain't necessarily so? We all struggle with this. Now, some of us struggle more so. I understand that. But the truth of the matter is, and we're going to see this, is that we are weak. We are weak. And Jesus has sent His Spirit to live in us and help us in this weakness so that we can live as His witnesses in this world. He has come to help us in our weakness so that we can be transformed, so that we can overcome and then live as His witnesses in this world. Now, when I say world, I mean your sphere of this world. Whatever your sphere of this world is, whatever is the group of people that you have contact and connection with and influence with. Now, I have to say this, and it's a little bit of a review, but I also say this for the benefit of those maybe who haven't heard in the last few weeks as we've gone through this series. You see, the way that you receive this gift of the Holy Spirit into your life is that you have to invite Jesus Christ into your life. We read in several places how Jesus invited us to receive His Spirit, but there is a condition. The gift is free. Salvation is free. But there is a condition. And the condition is this, that I repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. And Peter said this, right? Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You will be forgiven of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so there is this issue, this condition of repentance. Repentance means I was going this direction, and repentance means I turn away and have a change of mind. I was going in this direction, where I was not believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as the one who has sacrificed and taken away our sin. I was going this way in unbelief. I was going this way in pursuing sin, pursuing what I want to do. And repentance means I turn away from that and I begin to move towards God. I believe that that Jesus is His Son. I turn away from unbelief. I turn away from practicing sin. And I turn to Him in faith. And faith is simply taking God at His word. Don't think that, you know, when I say you have to have faith, that you have to be some spiritual giant that has all this faith. No, faith is simply taking God at His word. What God has said through His word, it's true. I believe it. That settles it. Amen? I believe it and that settles it for me. The truth of the matter is God said it and that settles it. But for you and for me, we have to make it personal. We have to say, God said it, I believe it, for me, that settles it. And so, He comes and lives in you by His Spirit when we come to that place of faith in Christ and repentance, of turning away from unbelief. So let me ask you a question this morning. Are you here today and have you made that invitation for Jesus Christ into your life? Have you come to that place where you've said, Jesus, I hear You calling me. I understand that in my life I've been going this way and You're calling me to turn, repent, and walk with You by faith. He really wants to have that relationship with every one of us. Have you made that invitation into your life today? And by so doing, you are inviting Him to come in, and He will come in by His Spirit. He will come in. And when He does that, He begins this work of transformation. As we talk about this, let me connect back with a scripture we've looked at several times, but I want to do it one more time. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. And Tom Henry will read that scripture for us.
And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives within you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you.
Okay, you put it back to verse 17 for me. Such an important understanding that we must have. Jesus says, but you know Him, for He lives with you. That wasn't the present, right? For the disciples that He's speaking to at that time, that was at the present. He lives with you through the person of Christ, through Jesus Christ. He lives with you. And time is coming when He will be in you. He now will be in you. Very, very important for us to understand. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Covenant or under the Old Testament was that He was with people. He came upon them. But now under the New Covenant, He comes and lives in us. And so Jesus promised to send this one. Go back to verse 16 for me. Sorry, said it just a moment late. Verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor. It's another one because it's another just like Jesus. And when it says the word Counselor, actually in several different translations, sometimes your translations will say a helper. I will give you another helper. I will give you the Spirit. But the word here is parakletos, means one who comes alongside. One who comes alongside. Think with me just for a minute. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't a human, right? But He's kind of like that big man that came alongside Brenda and me to help us in this moment of weakness when we could not lift this big roll of carpet out. He came right alongside and helped us. And so that is the nature of the Holy Spirit for you and for me. He wants to come alongside you and help you. But watch this. Watch this. You still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
He doesn't do it externally. He does it internally. He comes alongside us because He is in us. And He wants to help you and walk with you in your life. And whatever it is that you are facing, whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life, He wants to walk with you. Now, you notice I did not say that He wants to come and solve all your problems. That's not what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. And if you turn on the TV and you hear a TV preacher saying, you know, the whole reason that God sent His Son is to come and solve your problems, turn it off. That is heresy. That is false gospel. Jesus Christ did not send His Son, His one and only Son, to suffer and die on the cross so that He could help you. No. And solve your problems. No. He sent His Son so His Son could bear our sin and offer us forgiveness because He took that penalty, and then to offer us the Holy Spirit who will live in us, transform us, and yes, walk with us. But you remember David's prayer, Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art with me." Sometimes you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes you walk through a Job experience. I hope it's not literally, where you're sitting around with boils on you, scraping yourself with clamshells. That would be rough. That would be rough. But some people, they deal with diseases. They deal with infirmities. We're going to see in just a minute that we have all kinds of difficulties that we deal with in this life. So back to the scripture here, and let's break it down. Verse 26. When he says this, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." What does he mean by that? In the same way, connecting to the verses before it, as hope sustains believers when they suffer, so the Holy Spirit will then help us in our weakness. Now, this word weakness, very interesting word here. The word weakness means is the word asthenēo, and in the original language, and it means this. There's actually three meanings. It can mean infirmity, in other words, a specific illness of the body. Watch this. It can mean feebleness of mind or body. aren't you glad that the Lord understands this? In fact, it says in the Psalms, "The Lord has regard for the simple-minded." For the feeble-minded. Yes. Amen. I receive that one. You know, sometimes my mind feels very feeble. Simple-minded. Sometimes. It can mean feebleness of mind or of body. Now, as you get older, this old body begins to break down, doesn't it? This morning, I knelt down to have the elders pray over me in the office. And, man, my knee is hurting. I didn't do anything that I know of, you know, but my knee is hurting. You know, it's all of a sudden there's a pain in my knee. And many of you experience these kind of things. As you get older, you get the chest in the drawer syndrome. Your chest is falling down into your drawers. Right? You battle the bees. Baldness, bulge, and bunions. I think there's one more, too. Moving on. It also can mean moral feebleness or moral frailty. So it really covers the whole gamut, doesn't it? When it talks about the fact that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, it's really covering every facet of who we are and the fact that we are weak. Now, let me tell you something. If you're sitting here and you're thinking or saying this to yourself that, oh, you know, I'm not really weak. Let me tell you something. God has a way of helping us understand how very weak we are. I've told you this before that, you know, growing up, our family was all usually, you know, pretty healthy and didn't really have any issues. I never broke a bone until I think I was maybe 28 or 29. Had never broken a bone. Only had been to the hospital once for a cut on my foot. I just was always well, you know, never had any issues. And one of the things that happened was I began to realize that I didn't have any compassion on people who had illnesses, who had issues and problems. In fact, I found myself becoming very arrogant. You know, and maybe you can relate to this. You hear somebody that's dealing with an issue and you think to yourself, man, I wish you'd just get over it. I wish you'd just get better. I wish you'd just deal with it. You know, that's kind of the attitude I have. Like, man, you know, move on, brother. Move on, sister. And here's what happened. God helped me to understand that I am not to have an attitude like that, but in fact, I'm actually very weak. And so, It was, I think it was 1985. We had moved up to New York for me to go to seminary. I'm in the shower one morning, and I bend over to turn off the shower handles, and oh, my back went out like a knife in it. And I'm just standing there in my birthday suit. I can't move up and down. I can't do anything. I'm yelling for Brenda to help me. And for 2 weeks, my back was out. I had to lay down. It was just awful. And that began this whole issue that I've had back trouble in my life. And so God taught me, you know, that you're not as strong as you think you are. You know, sometimes we think we're invincible. Sometimes we think, man, I can do anything. No, you can't. No, you can't. I can't. You know, by the grace of God, I am who I am, and by the grace of God, I do what I can do. But we are all weak. And so, what God is helping us to understand here is that He has sent His Spirit to be with us, and yes, help us in our weakness. So, whatever the need is in your life, whatever level you are at in your life, maybe some of you are here and you're dealing with infirmity. You're dealing with sickness. Maybe you're dealing with the feebleness of mind or body that comes as you get older. I feel feebleness of mind setting in every day. Can't remember stuff. And maybe you're here and you're dealing with an issue of weakness in your life. Maybe you're here dealing with an addiction. Maybe you're here dealing with a besetting sin. Maybe a habit. Maybe you're here dealing with a stronghold that you just have not been able to overcome in your life. Maybe you're here dealing with depression. Wow, talk about an issue that's so misunderstood. We just tell people, you know, you need to snap out of it, man. Snap out of your depression. Well, that really helps, doesn't it? That really helps. Maybe you're dealing with a traumatic experience that happened in your life. Maybe you don't even know what's wrong. Maybe you just, you know, someone said this to me, something's wrong. I don't even know what it is. I can't even put my finger on it. Something's wrong. I'm here to tell you that God's Holy Spirit is here to help you in your weakness. Whatever you're going through, whatever your issue is, maybe it's a family issue, maybe it's a job issue, whatever it is, the Spirit is here to help you in your weakness. Now, I didn't say He's going to solve all your issues, but He will help you. Let's look at what that means. The Spirit is helping and assisting us in our weakness, and so He sometimes has to reveal to us things about ourselves. Boy, that can be fun, can't it? Oh, man. We are so arrogant and presumptuous sometimes, and we think, you know, we just understand it all. And God will allow things to happen. See, some of you all come to me and you scratch your head and say, Pastor, I don't get it. I just don't understand. Why is God allowing this to happen in my life? I don't have an answer for you. First of all, I'm not the Holy Spirit. You know, and I can counsel you from the Word as best as possible. But listen, sometimes God is trying to get your attention. Sometimes God is trying to slow you down, get you to stop striving and running and talking. Sometimes we talk ourselves to death. We appreciate that song Brother Les played during the offering. Be still. And know that I am God. Be still. We have a very difficult time doing that in this culture. Be still. Let God speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit reveal. He is the great counselor. There's a reason that He has that name. Some of y'all pay hundreds of dollars to go to counselors. And guess what? They don't have the answer. Now, they can help you. Maybe they can guide you. But you know, I've seen the Holy Spirit work sometimes in a way that is miraculous, is unbelievable, and in 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, He will reveal something that a professional counselor couldn't do in weeks or months or years. Someone said to me, this is a while back, they said, you know, I've been going to this counselor for a year. And I said, well, how's that been? Has it been helpful? They're like, Not really. I'm like, well, why do you keep going? You know? Try a different counselor. Go to a Christian counselor, a true Christian counselor, who's going to begin your session with prayer. There's an idea. Let's call upon God to help in this situation. Well, you know, I can't professionally do that. Well, you're in the wrong profession then. If you can't call upon God for help, that's sad. But go to a counselor who's going to take you into the Scriptures as well as help you to open up and talk about issues and try to get to it. Let the Holy Spirit come alongside, because He is the counselor. He is the one who comes alongside of us. He is the helper. He is the healer. He applies the blood and the sacrifice and the atonement of Christ to us. Look it with me at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. I thought of this as I was studying the Word last night. I was like, wow, now this really clicks and makes sense to me in a new way, Lord. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. Jay Johns is going to read that for us.
For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ.
Can you go back to verse 17? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I cut you off? I apologize.
Sure did.
You know me. I'm ready to go.
And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Amen. I told you I was weak of mind. Y'all didn't believe me. Go to verse 16 for me, Kim. This is Paul's prayer for you and for me. You realize that? Over 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul is praying for the disciples at the Ephesian church, but in so doing, it gets recorded and becomes Scripture, and he is praying this for you and for me, some 2,000 years later. And he prays, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. There it is. The Holy Spirit who is within us, that He would strengthen us. Why? Because we are weak. And He strengthens us in the inner being. In other words, the new man, the new woman that God has created in us. Go to verse 17. And what does he pray that the power of the Lord will do for us? That Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, verse 18 then, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp. You see it? Grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You see, we think we understand it all. We think, you know, especially if you've been a Christian for a while, or you've been doing this church thing, or this Jesus thing for a while, you think you get it. You think you understand it. But listen, God has depths of understanding of His love for you. He has such riches of the depths of His love for you and me. And that love can overcome everything. That love can overcome everything in your life if you will allow it. If you will receive that love and let that love, ministered by the Holy Spirit, dwell within your hearts and richly, richly affect you. And so, it says here the Holy Spirit will help you. The word literally is to assist. Right? It's to lay hold of along with. That man who came and helped us with the carpet is the perfect illustration. The Holy Spirit helps. In other words, He assists you and me. He comes alongside and lays hold of it with us. With us. You see, He doesn't do things for us in the sense that we have no responsibilities. Right? He does it with us because He is in us. Then go back with me then to verse 26, really the second part of verse 26 of chapter 8 of Romans. He now gives us an example. In other words, what he's saying here is that this is not limited to the prayer issue. You know, where in verse 26 says, we do not know what we ought to pray for. So that is a for example, right? It doesn't say meaning the totality of this verse. No, it's for example. This is just one example of different areas of weakness in our life. You understand? It's not, in other words, it's not only about being weak in prayer. It means, for example, and then he gives us his example. We do not know how, some translations say, or what, we ought to pray, but the Spirit intercedes for us. Stop right there. This Holy Spirit in us intercedes for us because we do not know how or how we ought to pray or what we ought to pray. You ever been there? I mean, sometimes you're just baffled. I mean, you know, we hear it, oh, you know, you ought to pray. Got an issue? Pray. Well, you know, sometimes I don't even know what to pray for. I am baffled. I don't understand what is going on in my life. I don't understand what's going on in the situation. Maybe it's in relationship to somebody else. And I don't understand. I don't get it. And I don't even know how to pray. I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, I pray for this situation. And I'm at a loss. I don't know what to pray. And you know, you can pray all the Christian pat answers, right? Lord, be with me. Lord, be with them. Lord, bless them. Well, what is, you know, you got a big, fat issue going on. That doesn't cut it. And so, as you're seeking the Lord, you say, Lord, I don't even know how to pray. How should I pray for this, Lord? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit within us begins to intercede through us. And the Word says, with groanings that cannot be uttered. Sometimes things just go so wrong, you don't even know how to pray. And those times can be baffling, can't they? Especially if you have your plans. Got our plans. Hey, you got to have a plan. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Got to have a goal. If you aim at nothing, you'll be sure to hit it. We have these little truisms, right? These little quips and quotes. You know, and in the main, that's true. We have a God who loves to interrupt our plans. We have a God who loves to shake up our goals. We have a God who likes to mess with our stuff. Man, why are you doing this, God? I don't like this. Stop it. You ever talk to God like that? He can handle it, by the way. Guess what? Sometimes God laughs. He'll be like, you want to do what? What? You silly goose, you. God messes with our plans. God messes with our stuff sometimes. But then, as we begin to seek Him, and that's the real reason He does it, so that you and I will begin to seek Him, we'll begin to stop striving, stop making our plans. In the main, it's okay to plan, but what I'm talking about, there's certain issues in our lives, certain things that He wants to lead you and guide you. Stop striving. Stop it. Take a moment and be still and let God speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit begin to intercede in you. And guess what? That takes time. You're not going to do it with 5 minutes in the morning using our daily crumb. That's a good start. That's a good start. Nothing wrong with that. Please don't think I'm mocking it. I guess I am. I'm just poking a little fun, okay? Just having a little fun. Making sure you're all awake. You all still awake? Jason, you awake? God bless you, brother. You got to spend some time together, you know? The other day, I'm driving down the road, and I was lost in thought. I was just thinking about some things. I was kind of praying. I had my eyes open. And I'm just driving along. Before you know it, I'm on the Bay Bridge. I was supposed to be coming here. I'm on the Bay Bridge. I'm just lost in thought. I'm just trying to let the Lord speak to me in the middle of this. So that's probably not the best time to be praying, I guess, you know. But sometimes that's a good time for me. It's quiet, you know. I'm on the Bay Bridge, man. That's right. Gave me a few extra minutes to pray, go over the bridge, turn around, come back. $6 for the governor. Yeah. Whew. The Holy Spirit wants to intercede for you and for me. What does that mean? We use that word intercede, and sometimes we don't understand what it means. What this means in this context is that He speaks to the Father on our behalf. In us. He speaks to the Father regarding the issue in which we are weak. He speaks to us in this matter in which we do not know how to pray or what we ought to pray. He speaks to the Father for you and for me. He prays. He speaks. That's what the word pray means, to speak face to face. And so He is speaking through you and me. If we have received His Spirit into our lives, then He speaks to the Father on your behalf. Isn't that a beautiful thought? But, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit gets started, and we're like, oh, okay, got to go, bye. And the Holy Spirit's like, where are you going? Wait a minute, I wasn't done. To allow the Spirit to speak to the Father. And then guess what? If you listen, He will start to reveal some things to you. You see, because it says He intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express, or that is unutterable. You see, the language of the Holy Spirit sometimes is not something we can understand. He has to reveal it to us. And so sometimes it's with groans, sometimes with sighs, sometimes it's with tears, sometimes it's with groaning and agony, and it's, you know, laying on the floor. You know? Sometimes you just feel like you're completely broken and weak and just poured out. But, you know, that's the times that the Holy Spirit will minister to us and reveal this to us. And there's times we read just last week where we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, I don't understand what's going on in my life. We had the men's shrimp and oyster roast yesterday, which, by the way, is fantastic. We had, you know, I think there were 60-plus guys. That was just a great time. Fantastic food. Great time of fellowship together. Got to meet some folks, you know, that for the first time that we perhaps didn't know before. Just a great time. I didn't win the pool tournament. So, you know, it was kind of disappointing. They told me I couldn't have the trophy anyway. So, you're the pastor. You can't have it. It's okay. But the thing was, I got into a conversation with somebody. They said, you know, my life's pretty successful. Things are good. I got a good job, making, you know, good salary. Things are going very well. You know, my family's good. Things are good. And you know, but the question remains, is that all there is? Is that all there is in this life? Make a good salary, get a nice house, have a great family. Things are going well. Have the 60-inch flat screen, watching NFL on there, NASCAR. Those things are great, right? I enjoy those too. But is that all there is? Raise up your children. See them raised up and grow. Is that all there is? No. There's so much more. Because the Holy Spirit wants to walk with you and me, and then at the end of life, watch this, at the end, He's got something extraordinary for us. You think the best of the best of these days in your life and my life, the best of the best cannot even begin to compare with what God has in store for us. That's what He says. Mind cannot conceive, neither has it entered into the heart of man, what God has planned for those who love Him. Man, I get chills just thinking about that. Amen? Amen. That's worth saying amen about. And this Holy Spirit wants to give us a little glimpse into that. He wants to give us a little glimpse of how He can walk with us through our problems, our issues, our concerns. Maybe it's a loved one that's gone astray. Maybe it's a prodigal. He wants to give you and me confidence, encouragement, And we can have that because why? Verse 27, the Spirit intercedes for us in accordance with God's will. This is how you can have great confidence. Because the Holy Spirit of God knows the mind of God, the will of God, and He intercedes for us, the saints. By the way, that's you and me. If you know Jesus, you're called a saint. You didn't know that, did you? Some of y'all ain't acting like saints out there. But we're called it anyway. Not because of anything we've done, but because of the righteousness of Christ in us. He intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Let me read for you from the New Living Translation, this same verse, verse 27. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Isn't that beautiful? The Spirit in us pleads for us, intercedes for us, according to God's will. And then verse 28, and we'll end with this. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. I didn't say, and the Scripture doesn't say, that He works that all things will be good, but rather, He works for the good in all things. That's a promise to lay hold of, isn't it? You can lay hold of that promise, even when things are going bad, and you can say, Father, I know Your promise is You are working for my good. It doesn't feel very good right now. It doesn't look very good right now. I don't like it right now. But Lord, Your Word says You're working for my good. And I lay hold of that. I lay hold of that. I hold on to it. That's what faith is. Faith is laying hold of something and holding on to it, even when we don't see it. Trusting God's going to bring us through. So I come back to His Word to us earlier. Have you received Christ and His Holy Spirit? And if you have, then He has begun this journey in your life. He's begun this relationship, this walk. But also, maybe you're here and you have this issue, this problem, this weakness. Maybe something is going on that is just dragging you down. Something's going on that's just weighing you, burdening you. Ask the Holy Spirit to take it, minister to you, speak and pray to the Father for you. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I'm going to ask you to do something as we pray. I want you to think of whatever the issue is, whatever is concerning you, whatever is burdening you, and maybe you're at a point where you don't even know if there is anything, and I want you to just put that in your hands, and I want you to open your hands like this in an attitude of prayer and say, Lord, I give these things to You. And I thank You for the Spirit who's praying and interceding for me in this. Please lead me in accordance with Your will. And Lord, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You, Lord, even when it seems bad. Even when I don't understand, I'm going to trust You. Would you say that in your heart to the Lord right now? I'm going to trust You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father, that You love us so much. You sent Your Son, who sent His Spirit, who would be with us and in us, and assist us, help us in our weakness. We thank You, Lord, in Your precious name. And all God's people said, as we close the service, if you would like prayer for any reason, maybe you want to invite Jesus into your heart today, come on up and we'd love to pray with you in the front here. Let's all stand as we receive the blessing and the benediction. Let's stand together as we pray. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus be poured out on each one of us. And may our hearts respond to Him and say, yes, Lord, have Your way in my life. We bless You, Lord. I pray blessing over these people. I thank You for them, for their attention, for their devotion to Your Word. And we thank You for the precious Holy Spirit, Your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you all. Have a great rest of the day.